turn with us this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter number 5. Joshua, chapter number 5. I want to read a few verses here this morning. I want to say this, appreciate your prayers as we was in revival last week. Had a wonderful time in the Lord. And appreciate all of you that were able to get to come to be in the meeting. It was a blessing and refreshing to see you there. Appreciate y'all so much for coming and being in the meeting. We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning. And it would have helped us all if we could have all have been here. It dealt with putting God first. That's what it dealt with. And it reminded me when I was a young Christian, when I hadn't been saved or hadn't been in church long, and I had to learn, and I did learn how to put God first. I had a hard time distinguishing between my responsibilities and what I needed to do in life. And I felt like being the breadwinner of the household that my sole priority was feeding my family. And I missed that. I missed it. It wasn't my sole priority. My first priority was God and leading my family to a relationship with Him. That was my first. And when I finally learned the right principles for living and putting God first, I found out that He helped me then to provide for my family. And it worked right, and it will work right in your life. Learning how to distinguish in life and have that balance. We have two natures. We have a natural man and a spiritual man. The natural man is from the earth. It's earthly. It is going to do earthly things. That's just the way it is. We've got to work, we eat, we clothe ourselves, we put a roof over our heads. We have to do those things while we're living here on earth. But then there's a spiritual man on the inside that longs after the things of God. And God needs to be our priority first and foremost. If we will, as the old preacher said, Brother Raymond Cook said, whichever one of those men that you feed the most will be the strongest. How many of you remember that, him saying that? How many of you remember? Well, you that did not raise your hand evidently didn't hear him say that, but it is absolutely the truth. If you will feed that spiritual man and you will cause the natural man to become lean, the inner man will get stronger. And the outer man will get under subjection to the holy things of God. And it will desire to feed from the table of God and be a great blessing to you. I want to say today that you're missing out by not putting God first. If everything you're focusing on is in the natural realm, you'll miss every blessing that God has in store for your life. And God has many of those blessings for you if you'll turn loose of the world and get dedicated to God and love Him above everything else in the world. You'll find out that God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. He is not going to take second place. God is not going to let you put everything else first. And then when you have your convenient times to put God there, He's not going to do that. He will not take second place. He will let you have the reins and run with it. He'll say, if you think you can do it without me, go ahead. And you'll find yourself off in a ditch somewhere. It might take 10 years. It might take 20 years down the road. But you're going to find yourself in a ditch somewhere down life's journey, and you'll look back and you'll say, I know where the problem was. It was when I got off the train way back yonder. That's where the problem was. And many years go by and you miss the very blessings of life. I want to encourage you this morning that put God first. If you will put Him first, put His church first in your life, learn about Him. Learn His statutes, learn His principles, learn His values in life. I'm going to tell you, God will grow you up and you'll be a mighty tower in your family. He really will do that in your life. And you know, this is not a sprint. It's a journey. It's not something that we just run out there and everything happened all of a sudden. It doesn't do that. It's not like that. It's a process. It's a process with God, and it's called sanctification, that God is working in us to sanctify us, to set us apart, to make us more and more like Jesus every day. That doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen tomorrow or right when you get saved. It's a process. And, you know, we need to work on that process all the days of our Christian life with God. And part of that process is dedicating ourselves to God and dedicating our lives to the church and the work of God and the will of God in enthusiasm and in zeal for the things of God. And I tell you what you'll do. I'll promise you that if you'll do that, that when you get to the end of the road, when you get to the end of life's journey, you'll find that the best is ahead of you. And you can look back in your past and find God, and God will make you stronger for the crossing. I'm going to tell you, you don't know how many people that I deal with that have regrets and that has problems in their senior years, look back at their children, their grandchildren, and see the mess that they've created simply because they've rejected God all the days of their life, and they put him off, and they've said, no, I'll just do it myself. And then when they get to the end of the road, they come to the preacher and they'll say, what happened? I tell you what happened. They let life get away, and they let God slip out of their hand, and they said, we can do it on our own. And they got to the place to where they found out they could not do it on their own. Their children won't have respect for them, for their Christian walk. They won't go to church. Their grandchildren won't go to church. I was visiting a lady not too many years ago. Her mind's going. She was sitting in the living room of her house. I won't mention her name. If I did, you'd know her. And her grandchildren came in her house and fumbling around, and I could hear them in the living room opening drawers and closing drawers. And I walked in there, and one of the granddaughters and her friend was stealing from the grandmother. Yeah. Ain't that something? Yeah. We'll regret a lot in life when we reject God and push God away in life. It's a shame. You cannot get away from this. It will catch up with you down the road. And when it does, it carries a heavy weight. And it cost dearly our lives. It cost us dearly. So we're no longer our own, but we're bought with a price. We belong to Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, don't you neglect the things of God. It will catch up with you. And I'm telling you, when it catches up with you, you'll sit there and you'll say, boy, what have I done? What have I done? Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5. I want to begin reading with verse number 10. Stand with us. Let's honor the Bible real quickly. I want to give you a few things here today in the Bible. In Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 10, the Bible said, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jordan. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after that they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain, not as the captain, or not even as a captain, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that you'd bless these people this morning. Lord, let us leave here different than we were when we came in the building. Lord, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would have his free course in the hearts and the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. Have your way with us now. Save the lost. Revive the backslider. And Lord, what you do for us this morning, we'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on the thought, the battle belongs to God. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes this morning. The battle belongs to God. Now, this book is a holy book. This book is written about many battles and many victories along the way. It involves God and it involves man. And from Genesis to Revelations, them two began with great battles and great victories. The book finds in the text this morning that God never loses a battle. Every battle that he chooses, he always wins. There's never a time where God has lost a battle, and there never will be a time where God will lose a battle. We live in these latter days, and it seems like that this has become a defeat from God. But I want you to know God's timing is just on time, and we're going to enjoy the victories that God has in store for us. The Bible tells us that Satan was an angel. He was a created being. Satan is not the son of God, and he's not another son of God. He's a created being. Satan desired to be as God, and therefore he transgressed in heaven and was lifted up in his pride, and God cast him out of heaven. And he dwells now on earth. He is known in the Bible as the prince and the power of the air. And so we know that the devil always wants to have glory. He wants to be a god. He wants to be as God. Fact of the matter is, God had cast out one third of the angels in heaven with Satan. The Bible tells us there are some that are on earth as we speak this morning. But there are some of those angels that are cast already into hell, and they're locked up in chains, and they're going to be released one day after a while to wreak havoc upon the disobedient and those that rejected God when the wrath of God comes. And so we can see this morning that the devil wants to take over the earth today, and every man, woman, boy, and girl that will follow after him. And so we know that there is a great battle in the spiritual realm that's taking place as I preach to you this morning. The devil is our adversary. He's doing everything he can to devour and to steal and to rob people of their lives. What he wants to do is for you to bow down and to give him reverence as God in this life and in this world. And I'm afraid there are many people this morning that have turned their allegiance away from God and bow themselves down to serving the devil. I want you to know this morning that that battle is heated today. If I've ever seen a time where Satan is running rampant, it's in the day that we're living in. He is destroying so many lives, and he's reaping havoc upon our world today. I've never seen anything like it. So much wickedness and seemed like in our world that we're living in today. You can't stand here or sit here with a straight face and not know that the devil is having a free-for-all in our world today. There's a battle in our soul to win between right and wrong. The devil wants us to follow after our sin. The Bible tells us and teaches us that the devil don't make us sin, but what he does do, he allures us into sin, because he knows the minute that we allure to sin, that it will wreck and ruin our lives. And that's the point that God cannot touch, and because he's a holy God and we're sinful creatures. And if the devil can get us lured off into sin, then he knows that we'll have a problem with God our Father. And that's
truth, and that's what he wants to do. He knows that he cannot get your soul, but if he can ruin your life, he'll ruin your life this morning. Now I want to talk to us about this battle that belongs to God. The children of Israel had crossed over Jordan now, and the Bible tells us that they're going into the land of Canaan. God now has delivered them out of Egypt, and he's brought them across Jordan. The Bible said they cross over on dry land. Yeah. You remember God heaped the waters on both sides, and they walked across on dry ground. And then the Bible tells us that God told Joshua to go into the land of Canaan, and he's running them people out, and he's destroying and killing all of those that are in the land that belongs to God. And now the Bible tells us that the 40 years that they had spent in the wilderness, that those of the old school have died, those of unbelief. When he came to the land of Canaan the first time, you remember that Moses was in charge, and they had sent the spies into the land of Canaan, and the spies came back, and two of them said, "We can have the land," and the rest of them said, "We could not have the land." And they put fear in the people of God, and they went wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that generation now is all gone. They're all dead. They all died in the wilderness because of unbelief. And therefore, they're all gone. But the new generation that Joshua is talking to here, they're now in the land of Canaan. The Bible said now he had set them up. God had commanded Joshua to circumcise all of those. Now they're fixing to go in the land of Canaan, and now he's circumcised them, and they're now camped out at Gilgal and fixing to go into Jericho. And Joshua fixing to carry the people into Jericho to fight the people of Jericho and run them out. Now, I want to stop right there now, and I want to talk to you about this battle. And the battle belongs to God. This battle does not belong to Joshua nor to the children of God, but it belongs to God. And because the Bible tells us that this battle, this particular battle at Jericho, is the first fruits of God as he comes into the land of Canaan. He's with his people, and Jericho is this great city, this huge city. And if God, and which God will, if he destroys the city of Jericho, the rest of the land of Canaan will fall as well, and by the people of Israel. And so this belongs to God. I want you to know this morning, the battle today that you're facing right now, it's not your battle. It belongs to God this morning. Amen. We's as well as to let him take over. That's what the Lord Jesus is here in when he says, when Joshua comes and he sees this man over against, the Bible said, with his sword drawn in his hand. That's Jesus. That's who that is. And you can pin that down. Write it in your Bible. This man is Jesus. Amen. And then the Bible said, Joshua asked the question, "Are you for us or are you for our adversary?" And the Bible said that this man says, "Nay." He said, "As captain of the host," he said, "You make the choice. You make the choice. Morning, you've got to make a choice. Amen. The Bible said he fell on the earth and worshiped him and said, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" He said, "I'm going to choose you as the captain of our host. We're coming in." Now you're going to have to make the choice this morning. Amen. You can have him for your captain. You can acknowledge him if you're going through this spiritual battle and you want to know, having a struggle with church, you're having a struggle with spirituality, you're having a struggle with song, you're having a struggle with the spirit, you're going to have to make a choice. Do you want him to take this thing over, or do you want him to be your adversary? Do you want to give your soul life to God, or do you just want to be a Christian on Sunday and live like the world during the week? It will never work in your life. It's a struggle. You'll never experience victory with one foot in and one foot out. He said, I'm come. He said, nay. Now listen. He said, are thou for us or for adversary? And he said, nay. He said, I'm for whoever chooses me in this battle. Now you want to choose him. You've got to acknowledge him as captain. You have to. That's the hardest thing that a man can do, is to relinquish his authority and his will and put it in the hands of another. Yeah. That's hard to do. We're just made to fight. We're just made and responsible. And we want to be the captain of our army. We want to be the head of our household. We want to be the one where the wife has shown submission unto the husband, or at least, if not submission, to acknowledge that we're the man and she's the woman. We're the stronger vessel and she's the weaker vessel. We need that. We need that. Young ladies, listen to me. If you want a good husband, let him know he's your husband. Amen. He's not looking for a friend. He's looking for a helpmeet. Amen. But the man then has to take that authority and that headship and leadership in the home, and he has to relinquish that if he's going to choose Christ as being captain over the battles that him and his family in the warfare are going to fight. He's going to have to say, you're my captain today.
Amen.
And you're my captain tomorrow.
Amen.
Every battle that I ever go into, I acknowledge you as captain. Amen. I sure don't want him to be my enemy.
Amen.
You're talking about rough.
Yeah, right.
It's rough.
Yes.
Amen. You remember what the Bible said? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to tell you, if God is against us, who can be for us?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, it gets rough when you go it alone. And you go without the Lord. You have to acknowledge God has a plan. And his plan was that he was going into Jericho, and he was going to defeat Jericho and give the children of God a great victory, so that it might be proclaimed throughout all the land of Canaan that this bunch of people is marching through the land and God is the host and he's their captain. You better get out of here. They're coming. Amen. I want the devil to be so scared when I walk in my house till I can hear the back door door closed behind him.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. The Bible said now he had to acknowledge. Now, the Bible said in verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Now, that's an expression of devotion. You remember what happened to Moses when he was in the bush? Up on the mountainside, he heard that voice tell him, take your shoes off. He said, the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Amen. And so Moses takes that shoes off his feet, and he stands on the holy ground of God. And now he tells Joshua the same thing. He said, because this land belongs to me. That's where he was at. He was on holy ground. Amen. I'm telling you, the land of Canaan is holy ground. It's a spirit-filled life. And we've got no business trying to run by God's business. And it's his war. It's his battle. He'll give us victory if we'll just trust in him. We've got to acknowledge he is God. In chapter number 6, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Before they ever walked the first step around Jericho, God done promised him victory.
Yeah.
What a Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that when you choose him as captain, that he'll lead us through all the way.
Yeah.
Amen. He's given them victory. You know, it feels good to win. There have been a lot of times in your life and in my life where the battle has come and the devil has done everything he could to convince you that you're but just a mere man, that God is way up there somewhere and he's nowhere around. And then all of a sudden he'll try to tempt you and try to get you off to the left. And but isn't it wonderful when the Spirit of God begins to take over as captain and you're able to say no to sin and you're able to say no to the flesh and no to the devil. They've been a lot of pretty things put out there. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, I had a good job, good paying job for that. Good paying job, had a career to own a company. I mean, to be able to step in and own a company at a young age of 20 years old, 19, 20 years old. I'm telling you, you talking about opportunity to get filthy rich, I had.
Yeah.
I had. I'm telling you, I had. I walked in one day and said, the Lord called me to preach. My boss man, the one that had the biggest percentage of the company, he called me his office. He said, William, he said, I understand you've been called to preach. I said, yes, sir. He said, we're not having that here. He said, let me tell you right now, son. He said, you're going to have to dedicate your life to this company. If this thing is ever going to get off the ground to where we can make a lot of money, you're going to have to forget that preaching business, and you're going to have to go and dedicate your time and your hours to this job. And I looked at him, and I said, sir, I quit. I said, I'm sorry. I can't do that. And he said, wait a minute. He said, you mean to tell me that you're going to leave this company and you're going to go preach? He said, you'll be a poor man all your life long. I said, I can't have it.
Yeah.
I said, the Lord said, this is my lot in life, and this is all I know to do is to follow after the Lord. You're talking about a scared young man. I was scared to death. I had a wife and two little kids. Absolutely scared. Scared to death, what in the world am I going to do? And I had to have a job.
Yeah.
I had to have a living to take care of my family. But the Lord never let me miss a beat.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! I stepped out of one right into another. Next thing I know, here I was, amen, I'm going and I'm preaching the Word of God, I'm pastoring and preaching revival meetings and doing carpenter work on the side and building houses, going wild. Every time there'd be a door closed, there'd be another opened up. And I'm telling you, God will give you victory this morning.
Amen.
He'll give you victory before you ever even experience victory. Amen. Don't be afraid. The battle belongs to God. The Bible said, and God told them, said, you shall compass the city, all the men of war. He said, and ye men of war, and go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him.
Barely made it out of high school.
Matter of fact, I had to go back and pastor, I'm telling you, you're looking at a dumb preacher.